Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
Welcome to another episode of Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Audioboom, TuneIn, Google Play, anywhere that you guys can find podcasts. Make sure you subscribe, leave us a review, tell your friends to subscribe, and check out the other podcasts in the Locked On Podcast Network as well. You can find us on Twitter at Locked On Bulls, like us on Facebook at Locked On Bulls, and if you want to advertise with us or have questions you want us to answer on the show, email us at lockedonbulls@gmail.com. I'm Sean Hyken of The Athletic. With me, as always, Cody Westerlund of 670 The Score. And Cody, so Dwayne Wade's out for the season.
He is out for the remainder of the regular season. Most likely the season, of course, because the Bulls are on the outside looking in the playoff picture. But as we discussed after Wednesday's loss to the Grizzlies for the Bulls, Dwayne Wade had a right elbow sprain, which an MRI revealed. Also had a small fracture in it, as the team termed it. Dwayne Wade said there's a little bit of ligament damage, and he thought it was a dislocation of sorts that led to all of this, but he is done for the regular season again. That's 14 games left if the playoffs roll around and the Bulls find themselves in it, and Dwayne Wade is cleared to play. He said he will return for the playoffs. Both of those are really big ifs. You were at practice today, Sean. Just what was his mood? What was the vibe? What was going on?
Well, obviously, this is not the kind of news that anybody's going to be happy about getting at this point. Especially considering how much they've been relying on Wade in fourth quarters and how, you know, to take pressure off of Jimmy Butler. That's kind of been his role the whole season. But he did, one thing that Dwayne did say that I thought was a little bit encouraging was that this is an injury that doesn't need surgery. So he's going to, theoretically, it could heal pretty quickly if they thought it wasn't serious enough to need surgery. But, like, his whole arm was in a cast. It was a soft cast, but also a brace on his elbow. So, he looked like, he was pretty clearly in some pain, which, like, just the concept of an elbow fracture, like, that's just one of those ones where you hear those words come out of somebody's mouth or you see it on the press release and it just, like, you have this visceral, like, reaction to, like, oh, God, how would that feel?
Yeah, and he's supposed to wear that big soft cast slash brace for 2 weeks. Basically, he can take it off for rehab, which he expects to start here in the next week or so, probably. But like he said, it's an injury that he's never had before, so he doesn't know what to expect, and this is a big blow, obviously, for him, for the Bulls, because say what you want about D-Wade maybe not being as consistent as before. He's only shooting 43.4%, which is a career low for him. He's their second leading scorer, 18.6 points per game for the Bulls. A big factor in leadership. He's a guy that can make plays with the ball. He can take a burden off of Jimmy Butler. He can still finish at the rim. When Dwayne Wade had 2 days rest, he's pretty darn good. When he had 1 day's rest, he was fine, obviously. Being 35 years old, he's not as efficient as he used to be. Back-to-backs are much tougher for him. But this is tough on the Bulls. I don't know how they're already bleak playoff hopes are anything other than close to non-existent right now, barring a Jimmy Butler takeover at an all-star level. But we went in depth on Wednesday night in the podcast that Jimmy Butler's not himself right now either.
No, he's not, and he's really going to have to be if they want to turn this through. Around. They're not completely out of the playoff picture. They're only a game out of the eighth seed in terms of just in the standings. Like, it's still theoretically possible that they make the playoffs. I wouldn't bet on it because I like the way that Miami and Milwaukee are playing right now better than I do the way the Bulls are playing right now. I wouldn't bet on them making the playoffs, but it's not completely impossible. I will say that if they do make the playoffs, I would be very surprised if Wade actually was cleared to come back by then. This is the kind of injury, you know, last night they were talking about this being similar to the injury that Jimmy Butler had. Jimmy Butler didn't have a fracture in his elbow. He just hyperextended it, and he missed 3 weeks. He missed 11 games. And he's also a lot younger than Dwayne Wade is. Wade is 35 now. He had this, even though this is an injury he hasn't had before, a part of his body he hasn't injured before. Older bones, you know, take longer to heal. He's gonna, you know, he has a fracture, like he has to keep it basically immobilized for 2 weeks in the cast.
It's gonna be stiff all the
time. It's gonna be stiff. So even if he is given clearance, like he's gonna have to get his way back into shape. You don't know how effective he's gonna be. I would just say, they only rule him out for the rest of the regular season. I would say I would be stunned if he actually played if they were to make the playoffs.
Yeah, and what was Dwayne's mood like? I want to get into that a little more, because last night after the game, I mean, I thought he was handling the injury well. You were there, obviously. We were both there when Joakim Noah suffered the gruesome shoulder injury. And everyone, like, you knew he was done for the year, basically, because it was so visceral and just gruesome. This one, like, a lot of people didn't see it at first because he got injured around the 9:45 mark of the fourth quarter. We've gone back and looked at some of the video, is when he got tangled up in a rebound with Zach Randolph and kind of got his arm over Zach's, and then Zach twisted and tried to grab the ball away, and when Dwayne's elbow kind of turned in a funny way a little bit, and he immediately grabbed it. So he played about a minute and 10 seconds of game time after that before the Bulls pulled him. So it wasn't obviously as jarring and shocking in the moment. But at the same time, like, you could tell the resignation in Dwayne's voice a little bit on Wednesday night. On Thursday, he was, after the media availability and everything, he was posting on Instagram that, quote, true strength is being able to hold it together when everyone else is expecting you to fall apart. Like, he's saying the right things, but what was, like, his mood like around you guys?
He seemed pretty even-keeled about it, honestly. Like, I think part of it is that the way he was talking last night, he kind of knew that this was going to be bad. He didn't think this was just going to be, like, a one-day or two-day thing, and, you know, he'd miss a couple of games. I think he knew he'd be out for a while last night, so it's not like this comes as a total shock to him. So, and you know, he's a veteran. He may not have had this injury before, but he has had other injuries before. So, like, he is familiar with the concept of being injured and missing games. So it's not like this is the first time he's ever dealt with this sort of situation, even though he hasn't had this particular injury before. So, you know, he seemed like he was in okay spirits. Obviously, you never want to be told that you're going to be out for the season, especially when the team is still fighting to get back in the playoffs. But, you know, on a scale of 1 to, you know, the mood of Joakim Noah, I would say it's about a 5.
Insert, he doesn't have to play bad basketball with a bad Bulls team joke here, I guess, maybe as a reason.
I'm just going to go out on a limb and guess that Miami is going to be one of the stops in his rehab.
That's probably true. It's a good idea. And he won't travel with the team to Washington, D.C. For the Bulls game on Friday night against the Wizards. He still expects to be around the team, certainly when they're at home. Maybe he'll go on the road if they have a big road game or something that really matters for the playoffs. Or as you say, if there's a city he really wants to get to or something.
Right.
But he said that leadership, like, he can still be a leader.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so he'll be around the guys, texting them, encouraging them. And he's already kind of started doing that in the sense that he said, quote, it'll be a better story, end quote, if Jimmy can lead the Bulls to the playoffs now without me, is what Dwayne Wade said. And that was interesting because you know how much Jimmy Butler's already caring for this team. And, yeah, he's going to have to carry a lot more. But, like, Dwayne's trying to give him words of encouragement, you know, even though he's the injured one.
I thought that was a nice, savvy veteran move by Dwayne to just, like, make it not just say, oh, Jimmy has to step up, but say, hey, it'll be a better story if this happens. Make Jimmy get, like, all excited about wanting to step up and do it. That was a great way of framing it.
That's an excellent point. Wow, these Bulls are actually going to make the playoffs conceivably without me. That'd be amazing, basically.
That's the
subliminal message.
That's some good framing by him. So let's talk about the road. Like how is this going to affect the rotation? Hoiberg obviously didn't tell us who was going to get these Three to four guys in the mix. I'm assuming that includes, like, Isaiah Cannon and Anthony Morrow, just knowing the Bulls and their rotation patterns, is Joffrey LaVerne going to get more minutes now because of this or something? I don't know.
I see two main options.
I do too. I think we
leave Jimmy at small forward and put Denzel Valentine at shooting guard, the other wing spot, or shift Jimmy if you want a little bit more to a shooting guard role and Paul Zips or a small forward. Those are the two options that make most sense to you?
Those are really the only two viable options to me in terms of guys that have been, because those are guys that are both, Zipser is the guy that started a lot, you know, in the games that Wade has been out in the past. So, you know, that's a guy that Hoiberg likes his defense. He hasn't been playing very well lately, but that's a guy that Hoiberg has kind of liked in that spot in the past. But Valentine has also been shooting the ball well lately, so that might be something. And also, he was his, you know, their lottery pick this year. It might be a guy that they want to get a look at if they want to go in the player development direction. So those are probably the two guys that stand to benefit the most from this. If I were me, just because now that Rondo is back in the starting lineup, you kind of want more shooting in the starting lineup, and Denzel Valentine has been shooting well lately, so I would maybe lean towards putting him in the starting lineup. But like we said, for all we know, Hoiberg might just decide now is the time they really need to rely on Isaiah Cannon.
Yeah, and it's almost like when you're around coaches long enough, sometimes you understand their language that they speak. We're in year two of Hoiberg. We don't have all of it figured out. Not even a lot of it figured out. When he says, we'll see or we'll evaluate based on the tape, like if someone's in or out of the rotation or if we're going to keep doing what we're going to do, could he get back in? That usually means no, I liked how the first guy played and this guy isn't going back to the rotation
right
yet. This one, I'm trying to read, and he was had a lot of praise for Denzel Valentine, which leads me to believe that'd be the way he's leaning in the starting rotation. But he's just jerked around that rotation so much this year without rhyme or reason that I'm really not confident in predicting that either. And I think it'd be good for Denzel. He doesn't have a start yet this year. Probably more importantly, he has closed a few games, which is the higher pressure stakes and moments. Anyway, but I think it would help. He was on that second unit with Rajon Rondo for quite a while until Rondo went back here in the last few games to the starting lineup. And like you said, three-point shooting is helpful. I don't see Jaren Grant making any sense in a backcourt at all with Rajon Rondo for a long stretch.
No, so that doesn't seem I don't think he's going to be in the starting unit. I still think he should be the guy that's getting the look at those backup point guard minutes and not Michael Carter-Williams. I mean, I will say this. Having Dwayne Wade, who's playing 30 minutes a game, out for the year makes Fred's job a little bit easier in terms of trying to find the minutes for all these young guys to play, because that's a huge chunk of minutes that Dwayne Wade was eating up, and now those minutes are open, and so he doesn't have to go, you know, 12 deep into his rotation in order to get minutes for all these guys. So, you know, in one sense, it makes it easier. So if he's going to have a 9 or 10-man rotation, then I think the way to do it would probably be to have the other four starters be who they are, Rondo, Butler, Lopez, and Portis or Mirotić or whoever, and then the other one of those is in there, and then Zipser, Valentine in some order, Felicio, and then that's eight. And I would have Jaren Grant as the backup point guard. It seems like he's kind of going with MCW, at least for now. But that would be the nine, and I think that actually makes some sense as a rotation.
Yeah, I have no complaints really there with anything you said. It raises a bigger picture here. The Bulls, according to Fred Hoiberg, are still chasing the playoff spot. Like you said, one game out of the eight seed. Part of the complication, too, is that this isn't a two-team race for one spot. It's a four-team race for the last two spots. Maybe a five-team race for the last three spots if the Pacers drop a little bit more or something like that. But there's just a lot of traffic to navigate here in this race. So it's not like just beat the Bucks when the Bulls go up to Milwaukee and finish strong and then, you know, you'll edge them out. Also worrying about the Heat at this point, you know what I mean, and the Pistons there in the mix too. So do the Bulls... How would you assess their playoff chances? I mean, I said very early in the podcast here that very bleak. I don't see the path to the playoffs now without Dwayne Wade. You pointed out, obviously, a game out. You're absolutely correct. A game out, Jimmy Butler gets really hot. String a few games together against bad teams at the end of the year, they can still be right there in what's a mediocre end of the Eastern Conference. But should they be going for a playoff spot? The Lakers just shut down Timofey Mozgov and Luol Deng. Like, shut these guys down. You can still have your combined $136 million that you signed for or whatever, $40 million of which we give you guys this year, but you're just going to sit on the bench in a suit, basically, and show up at practice and hoist a couple jumpers. Bulls make up an injury for Jimmy Butler. They just shut Jimmy Butler down. Should they?
I don't think these guys are going to do that because I think they know what the optics of it would be. With the Lakers, it's a little bit different because the Lakers have such an obvious incentive to do that because they lose their pick if it's outside of the top three.
Yeah.
So their option, it's not just, oh, if we shut these guys down, we can maybe get the number two or number three pick instead of the number five or number six pick. It's, we need to get a top three pick or else we don't have a pick at all. Like, if the Bulls shut down Jimmy, they've already won enough games that they're not, like, if they tank in any meaningful way, it's like, okay, you might get the 11th pick instead of the 13th pick, and it's like, I'm not sure how much that really accomplishes to make up for what the optics of, we're just going to shut down Jimmy Butler, right, for with some fishy injury right after we actually lost Dwayne Wade for the season, especially when, you know, the organization is pretty, made it pretty clear, they still want to make the playoffs this year, that's why they signed Rondo and Wade. I don't think they'd be willing to publicly just eat that as an entire, as a failure of, like, the entire plan that they had this season.
Yeah, and Hoiberg putting Rondo back in the starting rotation is just a massive nod, obviously, to wanting to make the playoffs. There's no doubt about that. But you said 13 or 11, does it make a difference? Exactly. Like, I do think it makes a difference. Like, this is a deep draft. I mean, if the Bulls really, really tanked it here to a large degree, they could almost work out their way up to 9 seed at best. Probably 10 would be more reasonable if they finish something like 2-12 or something like that.
Which they might do anyway without...
Like, they have 32 wins right now. The Timberwolves have, like, 28, and there's several teams between the Timberwolves and Bulls in number of wins. Like, I could see the Timberwolves finishing with more wins than the Bulls this year if Jimmy Butler doesn't play down the stretch. You know what I mean?
Yeah, okay, well, just that in and of itself. You tell Gar and Pax that the Timberwolves will finish with more wins than you guys if you do this. How do you think that's going to go over?
That's true. But, like, there are 5 to 6 very highly regarded point guards in this draft. And 6-1 probably won't be there.
They got the point guard of the future, though, Cameron Payne.
The 6th one probably won't be there at number 13 or 14. Might be there still at 10 or 11. And if that's a position you're highly valuing, which if Fred Hoiberg's your coach for more than the rest of this year, and your plan is to keep him past several months into his third season next year, next NBA season, getting a point guard who's really good and fits his system and can push the pace, who isn't 31-year-old Rajon Rondo,
right,
is really important. And at some point, you do need to help your coach and invest in what's best for him as well, because there's probably only... We were talking about this the other night in the media room. There's probably only 5 to 6 coaches in the NBA who can take just about any conglomeration of a roster and mold them into something that is greater than the sum of their parts in a way that is totally foreign and unfamiliar to that coach, the way they operate their system. Right. Like, a guy, we throw names out there, like, obviously, Greg Popovich, but, like, Eric Spoelstra this year is a great example.
Yeah.
In Miami, there was Dwayne Wade leaves, and...
That is a roster, by the way. That is an interesting roster.
You're relying on Dion Waiters now, and he is shooting lights out from three-point range. You have him with the utmost confidence, which I know Dion's never lacked confidence, but... He's also never probably had this much swagger with the three-point shot working so well for a long stretch.
You've got guys like Rodney Magruder out of the D-League starting long stretches of the season in Miami, and they're right here.
Yeah, so, like, Spoelstra's a guy like that. Fred Hoiberg, there's no signs whatsoever that he's that guy where you give him any roster and he makes it work. He can't make this roster work. So at some point, you do need to hedge a little bit more toward him. So that's why I think, even if it's not a drastic tank here, like, the slow creep up the draft board another couple slots would be very, very helpful for the Bulls. Because right now I look at this and, like, this has fingerprints of, like, missing the game by the playoffs and getting the number 14 pick again. Like, just like last year when they missed by, I don't know if it's game or two last year, but that's what it smells like to me. And I don't think that's helpful at all whatsoever. And I kind of buy this idea... I do and I don't. I don't even know where I stand on this one. I get getting in the playoffs with your young guys very helpful.
Get some.
But is it worth running Jimmy Butler into the ground to do that? Those 4 or 5 games against the Cavs, I think your future is in a much better scenario if you have the 10 pick and miss the playoffs than if you have the 13 or 14 pick and Denzel Valentine knocked down a go-ahead three-pointer in game four so you didn't get swept.
Well, what I would counter is this. What if you don't have Jimmy Butler in your long-term plans and it looks better for his trade value if he drags this team into the playoffs after they lose Dwayne Wade and he has this great final stretch of the season and then this monster playoff series where he can't do it alone. And so now suddenly his trade value is a little bit higher than it is maybe right now when he hasn't been very good the last month or so.
I think Jimmy's trade value is already properly established. Or maybe not trade value, because that's very dependent on the market and
right.
some factors the Bulls can't control and basically what the Celtics want to give in their offer
sure.
to a large extent. I think what Jimmy Butler is a basketball player is already out there. Like, I don't think him putting the Bulls on his back for another 3 or 4 week stretch is making his value go up that more. It's not like you're at the negotiating table and be like, oh yeah, you know, throw Marcus Smart in there too, you know, because Jimmy went for 38-6-6 in the playoff series, you know. So I don't buy too much into that. Don't put too much stock into it. But there's a lot of questions here for the future. I mean, what you bring up with Butler matters. Going back to Wade, we should address. He has that player option. $23.8 million for 2017-18. It's his decision to exercise it by the very last couple days in June?
June 30th.
And he said today at practice that he hasn't thought that far ahead. The injury does not affect his thinking yet, primarily because he probably hasn't done all the thinking yet.
Well, he also hasn't done his rehab. Like, what if in the next month or so he has some kind of setback in his rehab that maybe makes this injury more of a long-term thing? Before the injury, I was starting to maybe lean in the direction that he was actually going to opt out just because this whole thing seemed like it was so dysfunctional. Now, after the injury, you know, especially when you consider these other factors like, you know, his family likes living here and the amount of money that it is, plus, you know, now you have this injury that he has. I think if you make me guess today what he's going to do by June 30th, I think he's going to opt in and stay one more year.
So, we're obviously, I think everyone, it's a consensus, agrees that there's no way he's getting close to the nearly $24 million the Bulls can pay him for next season.
Right.
I could certainly still see $15 million, $16 million pretty easily.
Over like a 2 or 3 year deal per year?
That's what I'm getting into here. So just speaking directly to next season, if he was to sign a 1 year deal with someone, say, let's just look at the value versus the Bulls. I could certainly, see that. And that's the part you bring up is if he is healthy, he could conceivably get a 2 year, $32 million deal, which is actually more guaranteed money over that time frame. And he doesn't yet know if he opts into the Bulls for next year. He knows he has that $24 million. But if he has an awful season that's very injury-riddled again, he might not be worth any more than $5 million the next season. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's conceivable that in the big picture financially, actually taking a smaller value just for next season over a longer term could be the financial best decision for Dwayne Wade.
Right. Well,
and a lot depends on his health, too, there.
Right, well, that stuff is all going to kind of be determined. If I had to guess right now, I think he's probably going to opt into this contract, but I could see it going either way.
Hikins, give me my money now, man, especially when it's a very large sum.
Will you turn away from a $24 million that you knew you had on the table that you could get without having to like bank on anything else? Would you turn that much money away if it was just right in front of you? Because I wouldn't.
No, if I... Unless I have a perfect basketball situation elsewhere,
right?
I think I would opt back in.
Like if there was some way that like in LA they could get like the Banana Boat Squad together or something, and then you could still be in LA where you know you could do all your entertainment stuff. Like that's the only thing I could think of. He's not going to do that to go to like I don't know what. Who else would even
Milwaukee or Denver?
Sure.
Two teams he entertained
right,
last
that's,
year.
He's not opting out of $24 million to sign a 2 year. $30 million deal with the Nuggets or something.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And you got to realize some of these avenues of getting the band back together or getting LeBron and D-Wade back together. Cleveland can't do that unless they offer him $2.9 million.
Which I don't think he's going to do.
In an alternate world, if Cleveland had any cap space or more flexibility, maybe like Dwayne Wade could go play in Cleveland for $10 or $12 million for a year, but I don't think he wants to do that $3 million yet with LeBron. I don't get that drift. And again, this is just being around him as much as we can at the games and practices. But he mentioned the other night, too, and he said it in a way that kind of caught my attention. The Bulls, they got their butt kicked by someone, and Dwayne Wade made a comment to the effect of, I have 3 NBA titles, like, no one's going to feel sorry for me that I'm in this situation with the Bulls.
That was after the Houston game.
Okay, after the Houston game. And the way he said it was like, hey, I got 3 NBA titles, like, I'm not sweating it. You know,
this is why I would not expect him to take like the minimum to go sign with a contender.
This isn't David West.
Right. He's not gonna do a David West thing. Like with Wade, we've talked about this a million times on the show. He's got 3 rings, he's been to the finals 5 times, he's got a finals MVP, he's been an all-star 12 times, he's been all NBA 8 times. Like he doesn't have to prove anything to anybody basketball wise. He's making a lot of money right now, his family likes living in Chicago. I think that's enough for him.
Yeah, and brings up a question because that ties the Bulls' hands a little bit, and they're the ones that give him kind of the rope and the time to do it, the option to do it. They'll still have, even with Dwayne Wade opting in, they would have close to 1 max salary slot, I believe, depending on who that person is, you know, in the changing NBA climate and with some of the all-NBA salary scale increases and such. Starting salaries can be a whole lot. Like, we're talking 27
right.
million. I don't think they'd have quite that much. But for a guy coming off a rookie contract or something like that, or his rookie extension, you know, kind of in his prime, they probably should have enough for a max salary slot, even with him. And you can still start the retooling with him there. And it raises the question, how much has his leadership meant to the Bulls this year, too? And I think it has been very helpful for long stretches. But I don't think his leadership is outweighing any of the practical problems they have at this point.
No, well, I mean, they'll be able to sell it either way. If he opts out, they'll say, well, you know, now we have all this flexibility. if he opts in, even if they decide to trade Jimmy and rebuild, if he opts in, they can say, well, we have this Hall of Famer who's going to be the veteran leader for our young group as we try to rebuild. Like, they'll be able to sell it no matter what they do.
The idea of 36-year-old Dwayne Wade hanging out without Jimmy Butler on the team and the Bulls really embracing the rest of the youth movement and maybe even taking a high-risk, high-reward guy in the draft, something like that.
Right.
Or signing some of those guys in free agency. And Dwayne Wade saying, I just want my money and I want to live in Chicago because I like the city and my family likes it here. Can you imagine the storylines of that for a year? 22 to 23-year-olds, everyone in the rotation besides Dwayne Wade, basically. That would be something else.
He might gain like 30 pounds during that season.
But he would get his money, and he would be a good leader, and he would be a very good sport about it, too.
No, he would.
He knows, look, when Dwayne Wade makes his decision this summer, look, he's going to know whether they're going full youth movement or whether they're trying to do this, prop him up and float to the playoffs again, keep Jimmy, and maybe trade or sign someone in free agency who can be a third guy who's helpful for that playoff push. Like, he knows what he's going to be getting himself into next year, I think.
He knew what he was getting himself into this year.
Kind of.
What was there that was ambiguous about it? This is what this roster was.
I know the roster part. I don't think he knew the lack of the hold that Fred Hoiberg had on the locker room, how much Jimmy Butler basically laughs off any suggestion from Fred Hoiberg, and just the general dysfunction that is the Bulls in many regards when
right.
it comes to interdepartmental communication, the front office setting a direction, their explanations, these ever-changing rotations, what the front office wants Hoiberg to do, what they're telling him to do, what they're telling the people outside of him to do, how they're telling the players to approach everything, whether they're winning for now or later. Like, I don't think Dwayne fully understood all that. Next time, when he makes the decision on his player option, he will have been in the Crucible for a year. So he will understand that, and he will know the roster makeup and how good these players are or are not. So he'll actually be one of the most interesting and informed decisions in years, coming from someone that's really highly respected across the NBA and understands everything so well. And that might actually tell you a lot if he walks away from the money, you know?
It certainly wouldn't be a good look for the Bulls, even. They kind of put themselves in this impossible situation, because if they're so dysfunctional and they leave such a bad taste in his mouth from this season that he walks away from that much money in a city that his family likes to live in, yes. Even though it would be better for their cap long term, just the PR hit of that would not really do a great job in terms of attracting other big free agents if that's the route they decide to go, or just their perception around the league.
I do, and that's kind of why I just love Bulls storylines so much, because everything just butts heads. It's like a dichotomy here. The PR hit they would take, well, you put it perfectly there. They would conceivably drive Dwayne Wade away from a situation that could not possibly be better in every single regard except for the on-court product. And they drove a legend away who just wanted to restore respectability to the organization. But yet, driving him away is what would be best for the organization and their future health and respectability.
It's almost like signing him and Rondo was maybe not the move in the first place.
But who could have ever imagined that? 57 games is what Dwayne Wade will finish with in the regular season. In his first season with the Bulls, is it his only one? Only time will tell. He started 56 of those games.
He came off the bench, though. He had to come off the bench for that time, for that punishment.
He did. He yelled at teammates and had to come off the bench once. 56 starts, 57 games, 18.6 points per game, career low shooting mark, lots of leadership, had some entertaining moments, had some crazy dunks, had plenty of moments where he didn't hustle back on defense well enough, saved them in a couple games. And generally, for the most part, I think the Bulls would be okay knowing with what they got of Dwayne Wade in the first 68 games of the season still, production-wise. It wasn't as efficient as possible, but he was helpful in the leadership role and being a second creator. So they'll move forward without him. We will move forward by way of watching them play the Wizards on Friday. And then Saturday, we will be back at the United Center. Who do they play?
Utah.
Slipping my mind. Should have known that, of course. So keep it tuned in to Locked On Bulls as much as you can. We're on Twitter and Facebook by that name. Follow Sean on Twitter, at Hyken. Myself, at Cody Westerlin. You can email us at lockedonbulls@gmail.com. Advertising inquiries, always welcome. Send questions our way. As well, most of all, please do subscribe to the podcast.
Yeah, you can get us on iTunes, Stitcher, Audioboom, TuneIn, Google Play, whatever method you like to listen to podcasts. There are a million methods for podcasts, so whatever they are, you can find Locked On Bulls on that, whichever one you like to do. Tell your friends to subscribe. Make sure you go on iTunes and leave us a review, preferably of the 5-star variety. Tell your friends to check out the other Locked On podcasts with any NBA, NFL team they may be a fan of. In the meantime, thanks for listening to Locked On Bulls. We'll be back with you guys soon.
Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum 3 items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.